Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Can you believe how quickly 2017 has just flown by, right? Well, on a day like today, we reflect on this, and I thought this would be a good thing to talk about to close us out for the year. It's a brand new year is coming up, but are you going to be the same you? You could think of it, new year, new me, right? This is the exciting thing, talking about New Year's resolutions, about what are the lessons we learned from last year looking back and looking forward, what are the things that we're going to do differently? Now, I think talking about New Year's resolution is helpful to preaching because the application is kind of built into the sermon, right? An application of a sermon kind of tells you to do something to kind of change something. Well, that's what we're going to talk today about, New Year's resolutions changing something in you. But right off the bat, whenever we talk about New Year's resolutions, Dan already alluded to this in his Lord's Supper talks, you might encounter a few objections. Perhaps the first objection you would get is like, what do you mean I have to make a New Year's resolution? Are you saying there's a problem with me now? I'm good where I'm at, right? This kind of thinking reminds me of a country song that my grandpa was fond of quoting and singing all the time. I think it's by Mac Davis, I think is his name, but it goes a little something like this. I wonder if you guys have heard it. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Even in that song itself, the self-congratulatory song, even he has some room for improvement, right? He needs to be humble. He recognizes he needs to be humble. If we are humble ourselves, if we look at ourselves, it's like, here, none of us are perfect, save Jesus, right? So all of us could stand some improvement. So that's why it's worth entertaining. What would you want to change about yourself? What would you want to do differently? Now, some might push back as like, why does it have to be New Year's? Like, why does it have to be the 31st and, like, you know, starting the new calendar year? It doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. God's mercies are new every morning. Any day is a chance to be remade and to be renewed in the Lord's image. But while we're all thinking about it now, why don't we preach about it? Why don't we talk about, let's put our heads together about how to really have lasting change. Now, the second problem when people talk about New Year's resolution was also already alluded to. A lot of people have good intentions when it comes to their New Year's resolution. They just have trouble following through. Now, there's a lot of people, you can see these patterns. People tend to, if they're going to do a New Year's resolution, they tend to pick kind of similar stuff. And so we could kind of look at the patterns of that similar stuff and see, why is it people don't follow through so much? For example, does anybody want to guess what are the most common types of New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Dieting, exercising, something that has to do with fitness. Usually I want to lose weight, I want to be better looking, I'll join a gym membership, I'll do this diet and everything. One of the ways we can know this is you can look at this data here. Here's Google search trends about gym memberships. You notice when the spike is? Right at the end of December, right at the beginning of January. Even for specific gyms, it spikes during the end of the year. Man, the gyms, they love people's New Year's resolutions, right? But apparently there's like a large percentage of gym memberships that are bought in January that like people want to get rid of by July, right? So it's kind of a problem. A lot of people have good intentions. It's not a bad idea to try to be fit, right? To pursue fitness, to pursue some kind of physical training, but we have a hard time following through. But the kind of resolutions I want to talk about in this sermon, the spiritual aspect of it, I want to make sure that we don't miss that spiritual aspect of it. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So Scripture affirms, physical training, it's a good thing. And man, we've got some fitness nuts in this room, some people that are much more fit than I am, and I applaud you for that. That's a good thing. And that could be a God-honoring thing because our bodies are temples, right? But it doesn't just have to be, I'm not just going to give you advice about how to follow through on your gym membership or your new exercise routine or your dieting. or whatever. I'm going to talk about like a broader sense about how is it we can train ourselves for godliness, which both has benefits for this life and the next. Now, often when I do a topical sermon like this, whoever's doing the Lord's Supper will sometimes riff on it. And what usually happens during that time is they'll steal some of my scriptures, which I kind of like. I kind of like the play off each other. But this time, I have to admit, Dan used this passage from Luke 14, where Jesus says, it's basically kind of some parables about following through with what you started. Dan invoked this parable that Jesus says in Luke 14. He's like, if one of you is going to build a tower, you're going to make sure that you have the materials to finish it right. He also says in that passage, if a king's going to go off to war and he finds out the other army's bigger than his own, isn't he going to try to make peace, right? It's kind of think through what you're starting through. Be smart about it if you're going to finish it. And I have to admit, Dan, that scripture did not come to mind as I was thinking of this. So right on to you. I wish I had included it in this. So here's what I want to do. I have a video clip to show you as my key illustration from, I would call it a classic television show. It's like 3 minutes long. Pay attention to all these people trying to come up with changes for themselves. And we're going to remember, we're going to explore together about how to be smart to follow through with what we started. And these are some good examples. Watch this clip with me.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no divorces in 99.
Your divorce isn't even final yet.
Just the one divorce in 99. You know what? I am going to be happy this year. I am going to make myself happy.
Do you want us to leave the room? Or?
Every day, I am going to do one thing I have never done before. That, my friends, is my New Year's resolution.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Mine is to pilot a commercial jet.
That's a good one too, Phoebe. Now all I have to do is find a plane load of people whose resolution is to plummet to their deaths.
Maybe your resolution should be not to make fun of your friends, especially the ones who may soon be flying you to Europe for free on their own plane. She has a better chance of sprouting wings and flying up your nose than you do of not making fun of us.
In fact, I'll bet you $50 you can't go the whole year without making fun of us. Oh, you know what? Better get a week.
I'll take that bet, my friend. And you know what? Paying me the $50 can be the new thing you do that day. And it starts right now.
All right, my New Year's resolution is to learn how to play guitar.
Oh, really? How come?
Well, you know those special skills I have listed on my resume? Well, I would love it if one of those was true.
Do you want me to teach you? I'm a great teacher.
Oh, really? Who have you taught?
Well, I taught me, and I love me.
Great, yeah, thanks, Phoebe.
My resolution is to be less obsessed with being neat and clean.
Really?
Huh.
Or something else. Oh, look, Blair forgot her glasses. And she's going to really be needing these to keep an eye on that boyfriend, who, from what I hear, needs to keep his stapler in his desk drawer, if you know what I'm talking about. Rich, maybe your resolution should be to gossip less. I don't gossip. Maybe sometimes I find out things, or I hear something, and I pass that information on. You know, kind of like a public service. It doesn't mean I'm a gossip. I mean, would you call Ted Koppel a gossip?
Well, if Ted Koppel talked about his co-workers' botched boob jobs, yeah, I would.
They were like this! All right, okay, fine. My New Year's resolution will be not to gossip.
Easy. You have never kept a resolution.
Yes, I have.
Okay, let's see how you did last year.
No, not my diary. No, you cannot read my diary.
Dear diary, I'm so excited. My resolution is to write in you every day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Nothing. Not a lot happened last year. All right, I'll prove to you that I can keep it this time. No more gossiping.
Hate gossip. In junior high, this girl said a lot of mean stuff about me, and I set her bike on fire.
Oh, what'd she say about you?
She said I was crazy. Ooh, I guess she got hers, huh?
All right, there's lots in that clip that we can talk about, a lot that we can latch onto. This is kind of helpful to think about the kind of different kinds of resolutions you can make, the different kind of changes. For example, sometimes we make a resolution that's going to benefit you, right? Learning guitar, not obsessing over cleaning so much, those are examples. That's just going to help you, right? Sometimes we make a resolution that's going to mostly benefit others. Not gossiping, not ridiculing your friends, that's for the benefit of others. Sometimes resolutions are about stopping a bad habit, such as not gossiping or not ridiculing your friends. Sometimes it's about starting a good new habit, trying new things, or learning guitar. Does that make sense? So there's lots of things in that clip there, but the most important thing I want you to take away from that clip was the fact that they shared it with their friends, right? People that will hold them accountable. The people that will call it out is like, you said this last time and you did not follow through with it, right? Now, depending on what kind of person, what kind of personality type you have, I don't know whether you'll be more motivated if your friends say, oh, I bet you can't do it. I'm gonna root for you to fail. And you're like, ooh, well, I'm competitive and now I'm gonna follow through. Or if you're the kind of person that needs your friends to be rooting for you. But studies have shown you're much more likely to follow through with the change that you're trying to make if you tell it to people who know you and can hold you accountable. Like, you even have a better chance if you write it down, but as we saw in Rachel's diary, just because you write something down doesn't mean you'll follow through with it. You're more likely to. And even like just making a promise to yourself or even making a promise to God. I mean, I imagine many of us can relate to saying, God, just between you and me, I'm going to make this change, right? And we have a hard time following through. The first thing that I want to say about having us be smarter in finishing what we started is to tell somebody that will hold you accountable. We see this in Scripture. 1 Timothy 4 says this, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And in that scripture are a lot of the ideas that we've already encountered. Sometimes to make a positive change in our life, whether it be stopping a bad habit or picking up a good one, also in this passage it talks about like focusing on your Bible reading and preaching. Those are good habits, I guess. But it talks about how it can be a benefit both for you and for others. But the other part of it is that your progress is something that other people are meant to see. You are meant to be an example, and you're much more likely to follow through with what you started if you tell your friends that will keep you accountable. But we can revisit the friends' resolutions, and we can kind of weigh about how smart they are or how unlikely they are to succeed. So I'm going to give some practical tips. A lot of this comes from just psychological tricks about like, when you're thinking tonight about what is my New Year's resolution to be, or if you already have ideas, I want you to think about this criteria. Is this a SMART goal or a vapid goal? I'm going to use some acrostics here. SMART being like, ooh, that's a smart plan. That's a smart idea because I think you can follow through with that plan. You can finish what you started. Or it might be vapid. It might be offering nothing that's really stimulating or challenging. Let me kind of show you what I mean by contrasting every one of these words. The first S in SMART is that your goal needs to be specific. The V in vapid is vague. That's the opposite, right? If you just kind of have a vague goal, like it's kind of harder to really make a lasting change. It can't be something of like, my goal is just generally to change, just to be a better person. I was like, that's every positive resolution, right? You need to be more specific. You gotta name what it is you got to change. Secondly, for it to be smart, it has to be specific. It also has to be measurable as opposed to just kind of amorphous, right? And I'll use myself as an example here. 2 years ago, I had a New Year's resolution, and I told a friend this. I was like, one of my resolutions is I'm gonna try to not be so serious all the time, not take myself so seriously all the time. I want to laugh more. I want to laugh at myself more. Now I think that's a good intention, but here's the problem I have. It's like, well, Jordan, how'd you follow through on that revolution? It's like, well, I think I laughed more. But I'm not measuring my laughter, right? I have no metric to weigh the success of that. If you're going to have to like really know that you're successful on your goal, it needs to be specific and measurable. It needs to be specific, measurable, and actionable. That is, you have to be able to actually take an action to follow through with it. You have to be able to see that there are steps I can take to reach this goal, as opposed to having a goal that's just preposterous. Okay? Phoebe's goal to be a commercial pilot is preposterous, right? It's like, ooh, that's not quite realistic. Does she even know the steps that you have to take to become a commercial air pilot besides finding a plane full of people willing to plummet to their deaths, right? Now, this idea of having big, lofty goals and being able to achieve them, I want to kind of break this down a little more, because we need to take our big goals, however great they are, and break them down into small steps. Sometimes we have a good goal. I could call it a fantastic goal. Fantastic in the sense of like, that is a great thing to pursue. But it's also a little wordplay here. It's also fantastic in the sense that that is in the realm of fantasy if you think you can accomplish that. Does that make sense? This is about having proper expectations, having a smart plan of what you can actually pull off by taking steps. Let me give an example. Many of us sometimes will set these lofty goals for ourselves, not just on New Year's, but just in our day-to-day. It'll be like, you know what? The house is super messy. I'm going to clean the whole house before this week is over. Anybody ever said something like that? How hard is it to follow through with something like that? When it comes to cleaning your house, there's always another task to do. There's always another task to do. To clean the whole house, that's something that's sold in cleaning commercials, right? Unless you're the magic Mr. Clean, it's hard to really do everything involved with cleaning the house, maybe with few exceptions. Terry and Diana aren't here, but, you know, Diana cleans houses for a living. So she would say it's like, well, I could clean a whole house in the day. She does it for her job, like full time, right? But guess what? I know Terry and Diana. Hope they don't mind me saying this. I know that when Diana's been cleaning other people's houses all day, she comes home from work, and what does Terry say? It's like, man, now we've got all this unclean stuff in our house, right? Like, there's always something more to do with this example of, like, I'm going to clean the whole house in a short amount of time. Try to break your goals down into more manageable steps, actionable steps. Instead of trying to say, I'm going to clean the whole house this week, I think it's better to say, I'm going to do this pile of laundry today, right? I'm going to do this step, right? And it might be a bigger step than what you think. It might take you longer than what you expected. But here's the thing. Here's how the productive side of your brain is going to feel once you finish that pile of laundry. Look at this picture. Here, she's almost done with the laundry. She's just got to fold this last basket. Now, but look at her face. It's hard to tell, is she like exasperated or is she relieved, right? Does she feel like she's on the home stretch or does she feel like she's so behind, right? She's praying. She's praying, God, please help me fold the laundry before my family comes in or whatever, my in-laws come in or whatever. You see, it's the same situation, just a different goal, and that affects your mindset. If your goal was too lofty, then this becomes an exasperation. The productive side of your brain is just punishing you. You're so behind what you said you would do. But if you had a more actionable, reasonable goal, I'm just going to do this pile of laundry this day, you feel relieved. You're like, at least I can say I crossed this off my list. So if we're going to be smart, we have to be specific. It has to be a specific goal. It has to be a measurable goal. It has to be actionable. We have to be able to take steps to do it. And we also have to be responsible for the outcome to some extent. Does that make sense? As opposed to, we can have a lofty goal where really our input, our responsibility for it, our say in the matter is really irrelevant. Now, Ross's New Year's resolutions, he kind of had three in there, were good examples of this. Okay, each one of the three things that he says gets better. The first thing that he says, no divorces this year, right? Now, like, that's a good goal, I think. However, you don't have full control over what your spouse is going to do, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure Ross contributed to that divorce. But ultimately, the decision to leave him is his wife's, right? He could do like all kinds of steps, and it's still he's not responsible for his wife's decision. Does that make sense? The second thing that he says is, he says, I just want to be happy, right? Now, happy is a little better than something that's outside, that something like the divorce went outside of your control. But happiness is a little, it's not specific enough. Happiness is kind of an ethereal thing. Don't we all want to be happy, right? It's kind of like, well, yeah, all our resolutions kind of want to make us happy. Like we talked about 2 weeks ago when we were talking about joy, you can do things in your life to invite a certain feeling like happiness, and you can train yourself to savor happiness when it lands your way, when it shines on you, when it comes into your path, But emotions like happiness are so often they're outside of our control. Are we responsible for our feelings? A lot of ways our feelings are outside of our control. So something like happiness is not specific enough, and we're not responsible for our feelings in that way. We're responsible with the feelings that we invite and what we do with our feelings. Now, when he says, I'm going to do something new every day, that's much better, right? That's something actionable. You can break down the steps of what that would look like, although that would still be hard to come up with something new, something novel every day. Now, we can also think of Monica's resolution, right? Her resolution was to not obsess over people not being as neat and clean as her. Now, if you've seen the show Friends, this is a recurring joke with Monica, which I think some of us can relate to, right? Monica wants things a certain way. And when people don't fall into having things that certain way, she just says, well, I'm just going to change people. The people should just change to accommodate my way, right? But here's the thing, Monica doesn't have control over people. We do not have control over people. We are not responsible for other people's decisions. So rather than focusing on other people's part of the equation, their part to play, we can focus on our own, what we're responsible with. So I think that's helpful. She's like, you know, I obsess over these expectations that I have over cleanliness of my roommate, Rachel, that she's just not going to meet. So the part that I'm responsible for, the expectations part, I'm not going to obsess over them so much. Here's another, I think, good avenue to think when we're talking about possible resolutions. You ever obsess over something that you really, at the end of the day, you had no real control over? A good example of this, I hope my dad doesn't mind me telling this story, is my dad. I'm from Tennessee, and Peyton Manning played football there in his college years. And I remember that UT football was big back then, and man, my dad got impassioned, right? But sometimes I would have a friend over, and we'd be watching TV, and he'd be like, "Where's the remote?" I'm like, "Oh, it's right there on the coffee table." And he'd pick it up. He's like, "Why is your remote all loose and taped together?" I was like, "Oh, my dad was watching UT football and he threw the remote down on the ground," right? That's what my dad does when he's upset at UT football. The other thing that he did that I thought was really funny, he would yell. He would yell instructions to the players and to the coach as if they could actually hear them. "Oh, great play, guys, great play. Oh, yeah, just do it again, you know. Give some coverage," right? Like, he would just yell these things. He was obsessing over these things he had little to no control over. And to his credit, one year he had this resolution. He's like, "You know, I'm so preoccupied with these things I really have no control over. I'm going to let that go." Toned it down with the football and even following some news coverage. He was like, "I'm obsessing over these things I have no control over." And I can relate to that as well. For you guys that know me, I'm a lot like my dad, and I'm a little bit like Monica. I have these expectations for people that people don't meet, and I'm like, "Well, I'm just going to change the person to meet this expectation." And I have also personally obsessed about things that are outside of my control. I've talked at length about things like the Electoral College, net neutrality, right? And the part that I play, I can write my congressmen, my representatives, and I have, but outside of that, it's outside of my control. Why obsess over it? Why worry about it? I'm not responsible for those decisions, so why let that negativity into my life? It's irrelevant to me. Now, I don't think I'm alone in that. I think many of us, we have certain activities, usually involving our screens, many of us do. We have certain activities that we're drawn to that we know do not bring positivity into our life, but they bring negativity into our lives, right? Many of us use our screens in such a way that does not benefit us. For example, many of us go to certain things or use our screens in a certain way that makes us feel outraged, so angry, that make us feel offended and things that we balk at. Or some of us just keep scrolling through that feed and keep reading and seeing things that just make us so sad? Why do we obsess over things that's not going to help us? Why do we obsess over these things that are outside of our control? So if our goal is going to be smart, it's going to be specific, measurable, actionable, responsible, and here's another important one. It is going to be time-bounded, right? One of the reasons we're talking about resolutions today is because we could talk about making a change in your life any day, but let's talk about today if it's actually going to get done, right? It's smart if your resolution is time-bounded. It's more vapid if it can be infinitely delayed, right? If we say it's like, okay, there's no deadline, there's no ticking clock, I'll just get to it when motivation strikes. Well, one or two things are going to happen. Motivation's never going to strike, or when motivation does strike, you're going to have a hard time following through, and that productive part of your brain's going to punish you. It's like, oh, if you really wanted to get this done, you should have started sooner. So we got to set little deadlines for ourselves if we're going to get this done. And like, I'm preaching to myself here because I'm such a last-minute person, right? My mother is fond of saying, if it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done. And that's largely true, but we need to know which minute is the last minute, right? We need to be time-bounded if we're going to get things done. Here's one possible application. Many people, besides like the fitness stuff, many people want to quit bad habits or do like some kind of big life changes. For example, getting your finances under control. We have an opportunity to do that together, church, with this Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. Let me make this, if you want to make a change in your life of getting your finances in control, let me make it time-bounded for you. We start not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. But for you to be ready to do that, you have to sign up and you have to have your stuff shipped to you. So I'm going to say this, if this is going to be the kind of resolution you want to make, sign up for the Financial Peace University today. If you don't do it today, if you haven't done it already, you're probably not going to do it. Just as with so many of our goals, if we're not time-bounded, we won't follow through with it. So whereas a vapid goal is vague, amorphous, preposterous, irrelevant, and delayed, smart goals are specific, measurable, actionable, responsible, we're responsible for the actions, and time-bounded. Those are your practical tips of following through for your resolutions, but let's take this home. I have a few more things to say about God's part to play in all this. John 15:1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." One thing I want to point out here is that both the fruitful branches and the not fruitful branches, they're both cut. The unfruitful branches are cut off, but even the fruitful branches are pruned. All of us could stand some improvement, right? You could think of pruning as cutting out the bad habits, and you could think of bearing the fruit as doing more of the good stuff, bearing fruit. Jesus continues, John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." Here's the secret sauce, the secret ingredient that's really behind people who are able to follow through with producing good fruit. And I'm talking about things like justice, righteous, mercy. Justice, righteousness, and mercy, right? They are connected with God. Whatever resolution, whatever the application of this, of your year is going to be, if God's not in it, it will not bear fruit. So it's worth thinking about whatever our resolution is, how is it God honoring? How will we remain in God so that he will work in us so that we will bear much fruit? Finally, John 15:7. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." We Christians have a holy spiritual power. We have this access to the Father through Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And if we're going to think through what our resolutions are going to be, and if it's God-honoring and God-pleasing, and we spend time to rest in God's truth and to enjoy God's presence, we will bear much fruit. Even though we may stumble sometimes, this was the thing that was said in Psalm 37. This is the last scripture. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Let's delight in the Lord this new year. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Though we mess up sometimes, though we don't follow through, sometimes we don't have a smart plan, God's mercies are still new every morning. We're saved by grace through faith, but God's grace meets us wherever we're at, and it transforms us so that we don't stay in that place. May this be a new year where we delight in God, where we turn from evil and do good, and even when we stumble, God rescues us because we delight in him. So here's your applications. Tonight, think of a resolution. Think of, how is this year going to be different? How am I going to be a changed person going forward? But specifically, think about, how is this going to please God? How am I going to produce more of the fruit in my life that God wants to see in me? Secondly, think, this is the other application. Who will you tell your resolution to tonight? I'm making this time-bounded. If you don't do it tonight, it's probably not going to happen, okay? So think on this tonight. Think on what it's going to be and commit to it. You can talk to God about it. You can write it down. But you should tell somebody else, someone who knows you and can keep you accountable. If you really want to follow through with it, if you really want to be smart about it, tell somebody about it tonight. And finally, rely on God's power to both prune you, but also to produce fruit in you. God's the one that does both, that cuts out the bad in our lives, but also brings about the good things, the fruitful things of God-like righteousness. How will this change please God? Who will you tell your resolution to tonight? And let's rely on God's power to both prune away the bad things and provide the good fruit that he wants to see in our lives.